We've been doing this series on Titus 2, and the topic of this morning is going to be parenting. And what better way to the older women to speak to the younger women than to bring some experienced moms, not perfect moms, but moms that know what it is to cling desperately to God when you face those challenges. So we're not here today to share how-tos or a top 10 list of how to produce the perfect child. What we're here to do is to share how imperfect people deal with parenting challenges, and also to share how we can pour into the lives of other people, of children, of this next generation. We've been talking about, you know, you don't just want to be a mom, you know, raising your children. You want to be a mom who is speaking into the lives. You want to be a woman that even though you may not have children, you can speak into the lives of children. And so I've asked these ladies to join me up here, and I'm going to ask them some questions. And between all of us, we're going to share how we've struggled and how we've seen God work in our lives. And sometimes even when things don't work out the way we wanted them to, we recognize that God is faithful, and so we pray that you will be encouraged by the stories that we have to share today. So up here with me is Miss Georgia, and Georgia, all of us have been through, I think almost we represent all the stages in parenting, and Georgia has three children. Her youngest is just finishing up her freshman year in college, and her oldest got married last year, so two boys, one girl. And Audrey is the mom of five children from first year in college to 12 years old. We've got a mid-schooler. And beautiful Miss Diane is grandma and mom. She has two boys and beautiful grandchildren, three boys and three girls from, two girls, three boys from grade school all the way to her oldest grandson is going to be married soon in a few months. And Zanetta, we all know Zanetta and love Zanetta, and Zanetta has two children, a boy and a girl, and her oldest is going to get married and her son is a mid-schooler. And I have two children, 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, so I'm in the middle of those teen years. And so we hope that you will be encouraged today. The first question I asked the ladies to consider was, we all face parenting challenges. And sometimes things don't turn out the way we had planned. But what do you do in the midst of those challenges? What has God taught you during those challenges? And we just wanted to share those experiences because they're all very different. And we'll start with Georgia.
All right. I think one of the most challenging things that I faced as a mom was when my oldest son walked away from the Lord for a period of time. And when he did that, he was he went to church every Sunday. I had a feeling in my heart that something was wrong, and I asked him directly. I'm like, Nathan, are you walking with the Lord? To which he lied to his mother. Yes, Mom. Even though his whole life I told him, you know, if you lie to your mother, you'll go straight to hell. Do not collect 200. Do not pass go. He did it anyway. And I think through that time, I found that God had prepared me for it years before, when he was in high school. And he had just been starting to rebel a little bit. And my husband and I went to a bed and breakfast. And he dropped me off after dinner because it was raining and I was waiting on him. And I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I went into this little parlor because I thought, you know, I didn't think there was anybody in there. And when I got in there, and it was too late to turn around and go out, there was somebody in there. And she started talking. And I didn't tell her anything about me or my situation. And it was just the Lord. And this another side note here is that when the Lord tells you to speak to someone, even if you don't know them, you should obey that, because she helped me so much. She said, she started to tell me about when her daughter had walked away from the Lord and how she got tired of praying for her. And she didn't know what to pray because she felt like, I've prayed everything. And she says, I was ready to give up. And she says, and then I realized, she said, the Lord spoke to my soul and said, if you don't pray for her, who's going to? And I thought, well, other people. And he's like, but you pray for other people's children, but not the way you pray for them like your own. And that just struck me because I thought, that's so true. I pray for all kinds of people, but not with the heart that I would pray for my own children. And she said, when you get tired of praying and you don't know what to pray, she's like, you just get out your Bible and you get out the Psalms and the Proverbs and pray those scriptures for your kids. And I just wanted to share this one little bit of it because it's just amazing to me to just plug in your child's name. So here's a few verses. Blessed is Nathan. This is from Psalm 1. Let him not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But let his delight be in the law of the Lord, and on your law may he meditate day and night. Make him like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, Lord, let it prosper. And I just think it's amazing how God has given us the words when we don't have the words. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, to just pray for your children, I think, is the most important thing. And when he did finally come back, it was another person who we had never met as well, who spoke to him and spoke truth into his life and showed him the way back. So I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Audrey, can you share with us a challenging time? Yes, thank you.
Well, I live with four teenagers and a 12-year-old, so pretty much every day is a challenge. But I guess I also have two children that are in heaven, one before he was born, and one went to be with the Lord, Christopher, before he turned three. So that was challenging, but that's a God story for another day. This particular thing that I came to my heart was something that the Lord had taught me, big lesson, that had to do with Christopher's twin brother, Andrew. And it was a time when he was in the hospital. I had taken him just for a routine urgent care visit. He had had a super high fever and a kind of a weird rash, and I had taken him in. And after blood tests and examination, they admitted him. And so they continued to give him tests, blood tests. And so a couple days later, they come in and say that all of these blood test results are pointing to leukemia. So shortly after that, we ended up having to go to Children's Hospital so that they could do a bone marrow draw. And so it was the night before they were going to draw the bone marrow. And they woke him up in the middle of the night. And he's six at this time. And they woke him up in the middle of the night to give him an IV. And so after I got up in bed with him, and after he settled down and all of that, I just started praying to the Lord, praying. And I was newly saved, probably a year or so. And I was praying to the Lord, and really it was more of a battle with the Lord. And so as I'm praying and weeping and crying and asking the Lord why, and you know, why would you take this boy? You know, you've already got his brother in heaven, and you know, he just can't do this again, and just battling with the Lord for what seemed like hours. But at the end of it all, when I was just spent, in my mind's eye, I just gathered up this little six-year-old and I handed him over to the Lord. And I said, I surrender him. I surrender him to you. I just couldn't do it anymore. So I went to sleep after that for a couple hours. And then the next morning they had to do one last blood draw before the specialist came in to do the bone marrow test or whatever. And so they came in, did the blood test, and everything was gone. The blood counts were normal. His immune system was back because his immune system had been non-existent up to that point. This is probably a week. Everything was normal. We were discharged that day in the afternoon. So really, ladies, what the Lord taught me in all of that, at that time of my life, my children were my idols. They were my idols. And at that point, I couldn't imagine really loving the Lord more than my children. I battled with that. I had a hard time with that. I knew that's what I was supposed to do, but I didn't. I loved my children. They were my idols. And the Lord really taught me at that point that He needed to come first, that I needed to love Him more than anything else. And so that was such a big turning point for me. And so even now I'm reminded that, you know, sometimes every day I have to be like Abraham and Isaac and put your kids on the altar before Him. And so, you know, the scripture that comes to mind in all of this is, seek first the kingdom of God. He knows the desires of your hearts. He knows what you need. He knows what you want for you and for your kids. But you need to seek Him first with all your heart.
Very good. Thank you, Audrey, for sharing that with us. Diane, can you share your story with us?
I'm not as organized as these ladies. I have to write things down. Or I won't remember them and I'll ramble on. But something that's near and dear to my heart that many of you will be going through, and some of you have already gone through, and that is, you know, we never stop being a mom to our children. We never stop, no matter how old our kids get to be or where they are in their life, you will never stop being a mom. So as it is with God's great plan, you know, He brings those children up and they go on to grow up and get married, or they're going to get married. And so the mom, as it be, will lose the number one spot in that son's or daughter's life, because that's the way it should be. And that's really hard. So don't laugh and think, well, no, you know, that's not true. But it really is, because sometimes it's really difficult when you've been the person in that child's life who has answered all of their questions and been there for them through all the hard times. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. And they're gone, and someone else has taken your place. And that's exactly the way God wants it. So, ladies, how do you weather this storm? How do moms weather this storm? Well, what I have done, and that is in my life, is I have chosen to have daughter in loves. And those of you who know me know that my daughters are my daughter-in-loves. And I get tears in my eyes because I never had daughters, but I do now. And what I do is I respect them, I love them, and I know my place in their families. I know that they are a family, and now that's what they need to be, and I need to butt out. And so many times, you know, this is hard. This is hard as a mom, because a mom wants to say what she thinks, and she wants to tell them what she thinks. And that is a big mistake, ladies. That would be a big mistake. You have to just realize that God has a hierarchy in this world, and you have to follow it. But I know, and I can rest assured, that my sons know that they will never have to be stressed out about anything going on with their mom and their mother and my daughter's mother-in-laws, because I love them. I love them more than they could ever possibly know.
Thank you, Diane. Sonetta, share with us.
For me, first of all, that really spoke to my heart. Thank you. My daughter's about to be married, and I say too much sometimes. I'm learning. Okay. But when Maria asked the question about, you know, one of the most challenging situations faced as a parent, I immediately was taken back to, the time when I was divorced. I was saved and gave my life to Christ and was divorced. These things happened within a month of each other. So very, very close. And, I had been a stay-at-home mom. My daughter at the time was 10 years old and my son was 2. And, having to go back to work and have these children now in 2 different homes and trying to manage that and trying to also as a believer, I'm a new believer, so I don't really know what is happening yet. And I'm knowing that there's something new, and I start learning, and I'm trying to teach that to my children as best as I know how at the time. And it was really, really super hard. And I, even to this day, there's still things that to deal with, you know, having them both in two homes. And but I can say that just one day at a time, many, many tears. I just want to tell you, like, don't be afraid to go in your room and close the door and cry, whatever the situation may be, even if it's not about children directly. I did that a lot, and the Lord was faithful to me. And I think that the main thing, I love the scriptures that Audrey shared, but learning to really seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Learning that every day, just giving it to God, and it didn't happen in a day. It's taken years, and still doing it, as I just mentioned with the wedding now, having to lay her down and learn how to trust God with that. But at the end, the Lord just holds the results, and He's faithful.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Zanetta. Mm-hmm. One of the most difficult times that we faced in our parenting was when we received a diagnosis that my son was on the autism spectrum, that he had Asperger's. And it's incredibly painful to not understand what's going on with your children sometimes, and to see the struggles that they're having, and not know what to do. And when we received that diagnosis, he was in grade school, he was in fourth grade, and so many emotions, from guilt to anger to hurt. Why was this happening? Some sense it was a relief to know, and in some sense it was, why? And what's our life gonna look like, you know, at this point? And wrestling with all those emotions, the frustrated teachers, the frustrated children, the trying to deal with what do we do now, the training, you know, the therapies, all of those things. You know, what God taught me was a couple of things. The first one was, He's not broken. He is exactly the way God meant for Him to be. And that was such a relief for me to finally accept. He's not. He's perfect. He's amazing. And accepting that was, thank you, was such a relief to say, Lord, you're right. You knew all along what we were going to face. And the second thing that He taught me was, you're the lucky winner. I picked you. I picked you to be His mom, not anybody else. And I'm going to show you things that I wouldn't show any other moms. And you're going to go through things that other moms won't know. But you'll draw closer to me. And you'll learn to trust me like you have never trusted me before. And I got to tell you now, it's, you know, he's 16 now. He's an amazing individual. I have enjoyed so much. And I am so grateful that he did pick me, that he picked me to mom, to be the mom of this amazing boy. And I just know that he has plans for all of us. And sometimes your children bring certain challenges. Don't look at them as a burden. They are a blessing when you change your perspective, because God is sovereign. And when we relinquish that control, He is faithful to equip us and strengthen us. And I have never needed God more desperately than in my parenting. I just find that I need Him every single day, from the toddler years to the teenage years. It brings you to your knees. And so, ladies, your children are exactly the way God made them to be. Georgia reminds us, pray for them like only you can pray for them. Audrey reminds us to surrender these children to God. They're yours for a season, but He knows what He's doing. Diane reminds us that it's perspective. She didn't lose two sons. She gained two daughters. She has four kids now instead of two. And Zanetta reminds us that we need to seek God's kingdom no matter what situation we're going through. and He is faithful. He adds whatever it is that we're going to need. So let's move on to our next question. I ask these ladies to also consider, because I've been talking to you during this Titus 2 series about speaking into the lives of children, whether they are your own children, biological, or through a blended family, or through ministry, or your kids' friends. There are so many young people that need the influence of a Christian woman. And so I've asked these ladies to go back and think, how have they been able to speak into the lives of children that are not their own? And just think about a situation that they could share with us to kind of show us, how do you do that? How does a Christian woman do that? Again, we'll start with Georgia.
Okay. My answer to this one, I think, is pretty simple. When we, about 20 years ago, we bought our first house, and it was just this, there were no extras. It was the smallest house in the neighborhood. There was nothing special about this house. But I've always prayed that the Holy Spirit would just fill our house so much that there would be no room for anything else. And I think that when we live in those homes, we take that for granted. Because on our very first Halloween at that house, this little boy came by for trick-or-treat. And I opened the door, and he came in the house. Like, he looks in, and he walks right into the living room, and he looks around, and he goes, I like this place. He goes, I'm going to stay. And I was like, well, all right. And I thought, you know, just to let your own kids' friends, or if you don't have any kids who come into your life, let them be in your home and let them feel the presence of the Holy Spirit there and let Him do His work for them. And when we were talking about this, they wanted me to share this little story too. You know, when we practiced this, it was about twice as long, just so you know.
Yeah, we're going to try and keep you
but,
on time.
We were talking about how hard it is to, when you have small children, to put out the effort to have gatherings at your home or to do anything with them is pretty much harder when they're little. And when Abby was in the seventh grade, that was her first year in public school, she wanted to have a Christmas party at our house on the last day of school before Christmas. And when in the seventh grade, it's a lot of work, you know, because there's like, they wanted to make cookies, have pizza, do games. Their mothers had to bring them, then their mothers had to pick them. Their mothers didn't pick them up. I had to take them home. It was all kinds of things that had to happen for that, you know. And you're kind of always listening because our seventh grade girl's going to be mean, you know. Are they going to start getting mean down there and I'm going to have to step in? But we got through that party, and then they decided they wanted it to be an annual event. And so I was like, ugh. So, but they did that every year. And their senior year, when it's like no problem for them to be there at all, I sneak down to get a cup of coffee, and I am so blessed because I hear these girls sitting in there, and they're all talking about, just think how many years we've been having this party together and how long we've been friends, and next year we'll all be in college. And I was just like, I'm like over-listening with my coffee, you know, and I hear them say that, and I'm like, let's have the party again next year so you can all see each other. So they did. So they had it again. So it's like, I'm just saying, it's worth it. It's worth the effort and the time to let that happen. And I think of how, you know, we'll never know. We'll never know what things the Holy Spirit did in the lives of those girls. But they got to see Him, you know.
Thank you, Georgia. Audrey.
I think also, like Georgia said, it's pretty simple. what I thought of was, we have a home fellowship, and there's five families. There's 10 adults and 12 kids. And so, I'm the big culprit there. But I think one of the things that I never had growing up was just these kids are able to see all of these Christian adults just praying together and being together and crying together and supporting each other. And, you know, it's something that I think our kids need to see. Sometimes our kids might think that their parents think that they're perfect. And so I think it's just a good example for our kids to be able to see that. And this group of friends, our kids are kind of all the same age, and we do a lot of carpooling to all the numerous activities that the kids have. And sometimes it's all different, you know. Sometimes it's the moms that are carpooling, and sometimes it's the dads that jump in and carpool. And so it's awesome that we get to have these conversations with our friends' kids, and to be involved in our friends' kids' lives, and talk about the same books that we might be reading with them, or, you know, the same activities that everybody's involved in, or whatever it might be. But I think it's just an awesome example for our kids to have, that, you know, Christian parents that get together and support each other and commune and dine and cry and laugh. And so it's great.
I agree. Thank you, Audrey. Diane.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. When I considered this question, I immediately thought about how I have influenced my grandchildren. So you need to know that I have been a grandmother for over 20 years, and maybe just a few months over 20 years. My youngest grandchild, my oldest rather, is just turned 20 in January, and my youngest is 8. And so I've had an opportunity to practice this a lot over the years. And from my earliest memories, I can remember that this has been a wonderful experience for me, because it's a whole different experience to be a grandparent, but it's also an awesome responsibility. Because grandchildren listen to what you say, and they take everything that you say as complete truth. And because you're older and wiser, and I think they know that. And so you really have to make sure that what you say is the truth. And there can be no variation whatsoever. I have always praised and my grandchildren. I've always, you know, affirmed how wonderful and beautiful and handsome and smart and everything that they are. Always, you know, with the consideration that, you know, you don't want to create a conceited person, but you also want to make sure that they know that they are created specially, and God created them so special, so different than anybody else in this world. And that, I think, has been one of the things that I pride myself in, and that is that my grandchildren do believe the things that I've told them over the years. They do believe that they're the smartest and the cutest and the handsomest and the most beautiful and everything else. And when I think about the responsibility, I also think about that even though we're not the parents anymore, we're not the person that makes the decisions day to day, their parents have entrusted us. They have said, you know, here are these little grandchildren, and, you know, please make sure that everything that you do with them is in line with what we are doing with them. And that is also very important, that you honor the parents, that they never think for a moment that there's going to be any way that you would compromise their upbringing, the way they're bringing up their children, the way that they believe is correct. And in my case, it's wonderful, because my son and my daughter-in-laws are godly, and they're raising their children in a godly home. So it's very easy for us. As my husband always says, as for me and my home, we will honor the Lord, and we do that every day. There's never a lack of food in my house, because my grandchildren are like the locusts. They come through, and everything is gone in 10 minutes. But they also know that they can get their favorite things at Granny's house. And as long as they keep letting me be that granny, I will do it.
How many of you want Diane to be your mom or granny? Yeah. Zanetta.
So good. For me, with both of my children, it's been as simple as just even letting them invite friends here from school. And they've both done it over the years, inviting their friends. Most recently, my son, one of his friends that continues to come and meet him over here, my son ends up telling me a story about him giving his life to Christ on that particular night. So I think sometimes even just by doing the simple things that, honestly, sometimes it can seem like an inconvenience, you know, bringing other kids along, but we don't know the results and how impactful they can be, and how that little guy's life is going to be changed because of what the Lord wants to do in him. So as simple as that. And another thing, just real briefly, is I thought of mentorship also with this question, because even though people haven't been my direct children, And even maybe they haven't even been so young. You know, I think it's looking at it from a spiritual perspective. Maybe somebody is a newer believer and hasn't learned certain things yet. And what I've learned about the Lord is that our circumstances and the things that we go through in life, they're not just for us. They're not just for Him to do His work within us and grow us and transform us. And He's doing all those things, but they are for other people. And I just think of how He comforts us so we can comfort others. So there's so much that each of us, all of you ladies, have to offer other people when it comes to mentorship. So I would just encourage you to look for those opportunities and speak into the lives of those that are around you. I'm sure there's many even here in this room.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you, Zanetta. The story that came to mind in my life was when my husband and I were in grad school. We were going to school in Colorado, and we had a fellowship group. There was five couples, and we were all in the same stage, you know, no kids, starving graduate students trying to get through. And we all lived in family housing on campus, so we could get to each other's apartments in no time. Well, one of the couples had a baby. Well, it was like the 10 of us had a baby, you know, because it was like the first baby. And so I remember we were all at the hospital when she was born, and we all went home with her, and we would watch her, and, you know, my friend and I would just stare at her and say, can you believe this is an amazing little baby? Well, this little baby was a senior in high school when we visited a few years ago, and I had bought several books for my daughter from a Christian author. Her name is Dana Gresh, and she writes these amazing books for grade school and high school and young adults about purity and modesty and waiting for the Lord. So I had bought these books, some for my daughter, and I realized that that one particular book was too mature for her, and it was called Get Lost, Your Guide to Finding True Love. And the tagline was, discover how to get so lost in God that a guy has to seek Him to find you. And I just thought, what a, you know, great book. But my daughter was too young, and when we visited our friends, their daughter, a senior in high school, was kind of sort of dating this guy, but he hadn't come to meet her parents yet. And so we told her, you know, you shouldn't, you know, ask him to come. She was going to see him that night. I said, ask him to come over. And so this poor boy, you know, not only is he going to meet her parents for the first time, but he's going to meet her other parents, my husband and I. And he declined. He didn't want to come. And that was too much pressure to meet the four of us at once. And so we just left it at that. We flew back home, and that stayed on my heart. And I just thought, maybe I thought about this book. Maybe this is for her. Maybe I'm supposed to give her this book. And I talked myself out of it because I thought, that's not your daughter. This is matters of the heart. You know, don't be butting in. And the feeling would not go away. And so I prayed about it. I said, Lord, you know, I might be stepping out of place here. But I wrote her a note, and I told her how precious she was and how amazing she was and how she deserved someone who loved God, and I encouraged her to seek God. And I told her, I bought this book for my daughter, but I think it was meant for you, and I love you. You know, she knew I had loved her whole life and had seen her grown up. So I sent her the book, and a few weeks later, she read it right away, her mom told me. And her mom wrote to me and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. What you said to her would not have landed the same way if I had said it to her. But because it was you and she respects you, she read the book and she said, darn it, Maria's right. You know, she broke up with the boy because he was not the person that God wanted for her. And she realized that she was precious, and she needed to get lost in God before she got lost, you know, in a boy. And so, you know, it was one of those things where you're like, you're either going to lose a friend or, you know, she'll never speak to you again. But my friend was very grateful that I spoke into her daughter's life. And I truly love this young girl. And I think it made our relationship stronger, in fact. And I just pray that if someone feels led to speak into my children's life, as Georgia said, that they will be bold enough to do that, because I know if God's calling them to do that, then it would be a blessing into my life. So As we finish up, I know we could stay up here and we could have talked the whole time. I wanted to ask one final question from the ladies, but let me recap. Pray about speaking into someone else's life. That would be my conclusion. Bring children to church if they want to come with you, and mentor them if you can. Speak truth and encouragement into the lives of other children. Do life with other Christians. Fellowship so that your children can see how other children are growing up and how other families, so that they see there's no perfect family, but we can still do life together, and open up your home. Let children see what a home filled with the Holy Spirit looks like, and serve those kids, because the time will go by and they will be gone before you know it. Mm-hmm. We wanted to leave you with one pearl of wisdom, something that we have learned over our years of parenting. And I'll go ahead and start out with mine, and I've asked all the ladies also to share a scripture. So if you're taking notes, you can go back home and look these scriptures up, and maybe one of those will speak into your life. What I have learned is to not be deceived by my circumstances, because sometimes what you see is not the whole picture. Sometimes your children are making decisions that you don't agree with, or they're going down a path that you don't like, or things didn't turn out the way you wanted. But only God knows what's in these children's hearts, and that is Holy Spirit territory. And so don't be deceived by what you see. Don't catastrophize the future. Don't think, into the future and think, oh, at this rate, things are going to go really bad. Be faithful, as Georgia reminded us, to pray for your children. And I tell you, ladies, if there was ever a motivation to turn away from the world and to seek God, it's parenting. It's our children. And the scripture that spoke to me was in 1 Peter 3, 11 through 12 says, "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." His eyes are on you, and his ears are open. Don't waste your time on the world. Pray, pray, pray for these children, that this next generation would rise up and serve him. Zanetta.
So good. And that ties into mine. I just want to encourage you, ladies, do not give up. And I think of Galatians 6:9 actually comes to mind as well, that says, do not grow weary while doing good. For in due time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. That's a promise. It is a promise for you and for me. So in any and all circumstances, that's a promise for you. And just really quickly, I just want to encourage you. Can I share that story? Okay. I told you all about my divorce and how those days were really, really hard trying to teach the children. And what I didn't tell you is there was a lot of rebellion from especially my daughter. She's 10 at the time. She sees me one way, and then all of a sudden I start changing, and that doesn't really make sense to her. My son, a lot of potty training issues, I remember very clearly. But I could not see, you guys, I couldn't see over these years what God was doing. But I kept on praying, as Maria says. I kept on crying, as I told you a minute ago, just crying out to the Lord. And let me tell you, fast forward 7 years, Destiny is her name. And we asked our children if we could share these things. We're not coming out here and telling all their business. But 7 years fast forward, she's going to college, and I'm nervous. I'm like, Lord, she's not walking with you. I'm not seeing anything. And I was terrified, because I thought for sure she's going to really not seek you now. And, with all the influence in college. And one night, She was with me. She was living in the dorms, but she was with me on this particular night and needed to go to the store for some almond milk to John Brooks. And it's dark outside, and I'm thinking, just go with her. And it was an inconvenience to me. And just know that sometimes the inconveniences in your lives, do them, because the Lord has a plan. I go with her because I'm just worried about her, concerned about her in the parking lot. She goes in, runs in, gets her almond milk, gets back in the car. I'm thinking that's all we're doing. We start driving back to the house, and she randomly says to me, how do you know if you're really saved? And by this time, we pull in the driveway, and we're just sitting there, and I'm talking with her, and I told her, if you're asking that question, you're probably not, you know. And then I explained to her what it meant to be saved. I told her what the Bible says on how you can be saved, and then I was able to ask her, do you want to do that? And one thing over the years I had told her, especially as her being older, I will never force you, because if your heart's not right, I just can't do that. It's your choice. It's your choice, but I'm telling you where you're going. There's a real heaven, a real hell, and you have to decide. So she ends up telling me yes, and she receives Christ sitting there in the driveway for an inconvenience, I thought, for some almond milk. And to this day, you guys, the very next day, she was in God's Word. She has not stopped. She's now finishing up her junior year of college. She's met a godly guy. She loves the Lord. And every single day, she's reading His Word. She is listening to services. She's hungry. She's thirsty. And so live it out, too, because she didn't understand all of my quiet times and reading the Bible, and it would irritate her. But she did it that next day and hasn't stopped. So praise the Lord.
Awesome. Very encouraging. Diane, share your pearl of wisdom with us.
My pearl. My diamond, actually. you know, as I was thinking about this question, I really considered all of you and where you might be in the different stages of your life. But one thing for sure that we know, and that is we're all busy. We're all trying to raise our families. We're all, you know, whether they're young or whether they're, whether you're raising, you know, adult, not adult, but teenagers, and also helping with your grandchildren. The one thing that I remember that I always worried about was that I was not being in the moment enough. So things were just going by, and I was working, and I was coming home, and, you know, getting ready for the next day, putting the children in the bath, and, you know, reading them their stories, and, you know, all the while thinking, I have something else to do. I've got to get this done. I've got to get that done. And I didn't, you know, consider the moment, how important and precious it was. And too soon, it was gone. It was gone. So I can encourage you that, you know, I know it's busy, and I know we all have our plates full, every one of us. But you need to be present and not just look at the photographs and say, oh, yeah, that was really fun when we did this, but not remember anything about it. Your children remember. They remember every little detail. When you look at photographs, they'll say, I remember what we ate, you know, we were having this, or I remember what, you know, we were talking about. And it was such a blur to me because I was always so busy trying to get things accomplished. Well, I've slowed down an awful lot now. And it's never too late. And so now I have an opportunity to be in the moment with my grandchildren. And I do. I cherish every second. In fact, Georgia said, be sure you share this, Diane. And that is that I leave the fingerprints on the doors now so that... you know, and on the windows so that I can be reminded of how precious those little ones are and how soon it's all going to be gone. And they'll be getting married very soon, and they'll be growing up, and they won't be coming over to put fingerprints on your door anymore. So be present, be in the moment, even if it's hard, enjoy it.
Thank you, Diane.
Gosh, that's so true.
Audrey.
That's so good, Diane. Play with your kids. It's exhausting, I know. I had five little ones, and it's exhausting, but play with your kids. The thing that I thought about with this, I have no wisdom or nuggets. I'm still learning and making a ton of mistakes. But one of the things that God is showing me is that as my kids get older, especially my teenagers, is just I need to be obedient to the Lord, and we need to do our part. Because we're so busy trying to be the mom and serve and control these situations. And we want to train up our kids in the way they should go, but sometimes they're not that trainable. And, you know, they're resistant and they don't just do what you want them to do, especially when they get to be teenagers. So we need to just do what we can do and do what the Lord is calling us to do and let Him do the rest. Really just let Him do the rest. And so I know that many of us, pray, train up your kids in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And that we hold on to that promise so closely. And part of that is work for us, and that's just in being obedient to the Lord and what He's calling us to do, to pray for our kids, to play with our kids when they're little, and ladies, just to be before His feet all the time, and He will bless you for it.
Amen. Thank you, Audrey. Georgia.
And I think about that Diane has slowed down so much, and yet she is still light years faster than I am. my pearl has to do with the scriptures. 1 John 4:18-19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. And I think that's how we love our children. They'll learn to love Him, they'll learn to love us, they'll learn to love other people because we first love them too. And one way that I saw this, and really God showed this to me, my best friend, I call her my bird dog because she's 8 years older than me, and she kind of goes ahead of me and calls back and tells me, you know, what's coming. And when her son went through years of a really dark time, and she would call me after she had called him, and she was like, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I can't reach him. I keep calling him. He doesn't want to talk to me. I feel so stupid when I hang up. I don't know if I should just leave him alone. And these are the conversations we would have. And then when he finally came through that, on the other side of it, it was several years later, and he helped us drive out here when we moved to Albuquerque. And so he and I got to spend hours together in the car. And he said, Georgia, you know, when I was in the darkest time of my life, my mom would always call me. And when she would call, it was like one ray of light into my darkness. And that was what brought me back. And I thought, you know, from her perspective, she's just feeling like she's the stupid one, you know? And I think that's what love does. You're willing to look stupid if it's going to help the person that you love. And so it just gave me courage to just always go ahead and be stupid, you know? I mean, it's just because sometimes that is the only thing that's going to work to bring them back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Georgia. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your stories with us. Thank you so much. Ladies, I pray that you would be, that you be encouraged as women know that you have a lot of influence on young lives. And I hope that you will take away from today that you have been called to speak into the lives of children, of young people, however that looks like for you, whether it's your own children, your grandchildren, friends, your neighbors. Pray and ask God, Lord, how can I be an influence? And if you still have your mom, call her today and tell her you love her. Make sure you hug the kids in your life today and love them. And I thank you for listening, and thank you, the ladies, for sharing. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so faithful, God, to work through us, to work in us, to work on our behalf, Lord, in the lives of our children. Lord, you just want us to be faithful, and I pray that you would help us to be faithful and to seek after you with all our hearts. And I pray for the lives of our children, for the children that are represented here by each of these ladies, that you would draw them close to you, and that we would be examples to them of how to live a life consecrated to you. In Jesus' name, amen.